In today's political climate, it can be difficult to even talk to a neighbor or a friend about contentious issues, not to mention trying to work across the aisle within Congress. Former Maine Republican Senator Olympia Snow has built a career on bipartisanship and now serves on the board of directors for the Bipartisan Policy Center. On Monday, she'll be speaking at the Leap into Leadership Conference in Cheyenne. As part of our series on civil discourse, she joins me now to talk a little about building bridges. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I'm delighted. Thank you for having me, Caroline.
So you've been in politics for over 40 years, and throughout your career, you've been a champion of bipartisanship. Where did that come from?
You know, it's interesting. As I think back on it in my own life, and I talk about, and I will in my speech on Monday night, about my early childhood experiences, I think that lend itself to, you know, building relationships around me. And that certainly carried through when ultimately I began my service in the Maine State Legislature and understood the value of working together and building templates. And, you know, I had those experiences early on in my legislative career, understanding how you could work with the other side to get things done. Even though you might disagree on some of the issues, you would always find a pathway forward. So, you know, it sort of evolved both personally as well as professionally, because I thought it was so important ultimately to solve problems for the people we were elected to represent.
Can you tell me a little bit about your decision to leave the Senate in February 2012 and not seek another term?
Yes, you know, and it was a difficult decision. And actually, it was one that sort of just ended up descending on me as I was preparing to, you know, gather my signatures for submission for my election. I had been preparing for 2 years to run. But it occurred to me as I started to project out over the next 6 years what it would be like, realizing that the polarization and the partisanship would not be diminished in the short term. And once I came to that conclusion, you know, I decided that I would take, you know, my fight for bipartisanship in a different direction and outside of the institution.
Was there a moment that you can remember where you found yourself thinking, this isn't what I signed up for, or this isn't working anymore?
What shocked me early on, I think it was the debt crisis in 2011. I was struck about the fact that here we had all these months to resolve that question. And it wasn't until literally the final seconds of the final hour until the deadline where we managed to develop a solution and enact a solution to the problem. That, to me, really underscored the degree to which the political process had really sort of disintegrated, that we were willing to take the country to the political and, to more importantly, the financial edge that, you know, not only sent a shockwave around the country, but around the world.
As someone with such a long history in public service, what happened? You know, why do you think politics have hit such a moment of stalemate and contentiousness?
You know, it's a good question, and one that I get frequently asked, because it is an enormous source of frustration and has been building up over time. And ultimately, I really attribute to sort of the breakdown in political discourse and producing solutions and abandoning compromise and consensus to the divide that was created. You know, both political parties, you know, are responsible, but, you know, focusing on more the narrow political basis of the political parties. And also what was happening internally in Congress, where ultimately we were no longer solving problems. And so, you know, as people were experiencing the hardships in their own lives, I would hear that from my own constituents, you know, knowing that the economy wasn't working for them. So people, you know, began to experience all of this hardship in their own lives, and yet there was this disconnect in Washington where we weren't solving the problems. And so there became this wider and wider chasm and disconnect between those who were governed and those who were governing. And I think that, you know, that disaffection built up over time and manifested itself, obviously, in this last election, but it had been cumulative over time.
It's not just politicians who are having to deal with these issues anymore. It seems that social media feeds on Facebook, you're seeing people talk about contentious issues like race, gender equality, religion, economics, and immigration. Are there ways that people can better talk to someone that they disagree with?
I would hope so. You know, it's unfortunate today the degree to which, you know, the discourse has sort of emerged into, you know, harsh, loud language. We have to better understand one another, show more tolerance for differing viewpoints, trying to put ourselves in the shoes of someone else to understand, to have that empathy, and also to try and understand why somebody thinks the way they do, rather than the shouting and the arguing. And sometimes that just is, you know, much more part of the theatrics than it is about really contributing to trying to better understand one another. And I always say that it isn't surprising that we all have differences, you know, that we can have a variety of viewpoints on, you know, on a range of issues, as you mentioned. The question is trying to appreciate those differences and respecting them, despite the fact you might disagree. And that's what I loved about the Wyoming's Women's Legislative Caucus's workshops and talking about, you know, managing to disagree without being disagreeable. You know, I often said, you know, many of the programs, you know, that offer one side or the other on an issue, and they never show the gray area. You know, they just want to position people either for or against. But ultimately, there is that gray area. And if you're solving a problem in the legislative process, for example, in the Congress or in state legislature, you got to sort through the issues to reach a conclusion. And it's not always so clear. It's not always a straight path. You're not always going to get what you want. And I think that the same is true in just, you know, having debates about a variety of issues.
Where do you see good examples of civil discourse? Are you seeing any signs that things can improve?
I do. I mean, I think people are anxious to have, you know, that civil discourse. That's why I like what the caucus is doing in Wyoming. I mean, to have the whole idea of having these workshops, talking about civility, I think in various spheres they're trying to set examples. And I think even, in, you know, in social media and, you know, on the networks, cable news shows, it's so important to also show examples of how people can disagree, but ultimately reach a solution. Because at the end of the day, we all know we have our differences. I don't think that should be a surprise. And, you know, whether Republicans and Democrats have differences, obviously that's why we are who we are, respectively. But the question is whether you can overcome those differences and that there's a willingness, you know, to overcome those differences. I always said there was never a golden era of bipartisanship in the United States Congress, but there was a time that we had the capacity to overcome our differences. But today, it's almost as if, you know, if either side doesn't prevail, they just take it to the next election. But that doesn't solve the problem at hand for the people in this country or the people you're trying or were elected to serve.
Former Maine Senator Olympia Snow will be speaking at the Leap Into Leadership Conference in Cheyenne. Senator, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Caroline. I'm looking forward to it. And this is my first trip to the state of Wyoming, so it's a double pleasure.